With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's about freezing. You gotta put it in perspective.
Listen to me. I'm only going to say this once. We are going on the trip now. It's going to be rough. It's going to feel like it's going on for a long time, so it's going to be hard to stay alert. It's going to be even harder to be quiet, but you have to do both. You have to do every single thing I say, or we will not make it. Understand?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This resume is one of the worst written I've ever seen. And you didn't even fill out this form properly. Not even close. It's incomplete. It's worse than sloppy. I wanted to see you to tell you that if you ever want to find work anyplace, then you better get your act together, do things properly, and start showing some respect for a possible future employer. Because based on this, you'd never get hired here. And I would never recommend you for any work, any place.
I just want to say, you, bro. You're a piece of. You're here for the wrong reasons.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What did you do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Your mom's an asshole.
And now,
just a sad collection of fatuous, imbecilic, puerile, blithering milksops.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 4th of January.
Finally, Friday.
Jeez.
Long week.
This week.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like it would never end. By the way,
But this is the new schedule, right? I mean, we're doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday only every week.
Right.
Right? That's my understanding.
Yeah. I got the memo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great news.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had not heard that, but I'm delighted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Allie. Hey, Jensen.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, Chip. But here's what I'll tell you about the 4th of January.
What? Just didn't say hi to me. That's all. So good.
Well, because we were already talking.
Oh, okay.
The others weren't talking. I kind of got the, the creepy crawlies when I realized it was already the 4th, because now we're on that snowball ride, because we're a week and a half from Martin Luther King Day, and then, you know, it's Groundhog Day.
Don't start talking about Christmas.
Valentine's Day. I'm telling you, once it's Valentine's Day, it might as well be St. Patrick's Day, and then you know it's Memorial Day, and then you got the Flag Day, and the 4th of July and Labor Day, and I'm telling you, it's almost Christmas, is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, we're practically at Christmas already.
I mean, it's January 4th.
Right.
So
but you see where I'm going with this, because
sure, every year Christmas does come, that's true.
Yes, but it's already the 4th of January.
Right.
Were you not listening?
I
did you
was.
Not pay attention?
I heard the recap.
Okay, just saying. Okay. Happy holidays.
All right.
I have given a lot of thought to this, maybe more than necessary, but we've talked on the show before about stuff that they teach you in school that you never, ever need. And
right.
Kevin, you are a very strong proponent of most of what they teach you in school is a big, fat waste
of
time.
It's worthless, yeah. Yeah. When I was in math class, they did a math fact of the day, and some guy came up with whatever. And I went up to the teacher and I said, "You know what? I'm not going to learn that because I'm never going to need it." And he goes, "Well, it's going to be on the test." And I said, "I'll leave that part blank." And I just did the whole semester.
You sound like a very chill kid.
And you sure showed him, man.
Sure did.
By getting a lower grade than you would have had you committed one name to memory.
All right, go ahead.
You're not wrong. Unless one day you want to be on Jeopardy, in which case that would be a good opportunity to like pull that from the recesses of your mind.
What are the chances I'm ever going to be on Jeopardy?
Well, most of us are never going to be on Jeopardy. But I give a lot of thought, especially, you have to teach basic math to kids, right? Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, eighth grade. You've got to teach. Kids need to know how to balance a checkbook. They need to at least know subtraction and addition, maybe a little bit of multiplication. Once you get beyond that, I can see the argument of a big waste of time not learning algebra.
Right, Allie?
Amen. I'm with you on all this.
Okay, I say all that to say all this. 2019 now, Ohio is the latest state that has kicked off a new law in their state, joining Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Massachusetts, California, Florida, and Georgia to have a mandate that requires schools to teach kids cursive. They must learn cursive.
Interesting.
By the end of fifth grade.
And you're saying why?
And I'm trying to figure out a reason why, going forward from 2019 on, you would ever need to write in cursive, ever.
It's just our signatures, yeah. Right?
Signature, that's it. And then right below it says, please print. Because no one can read your damn cursive. Right.
And by the way, yeah, exactly. Nobody's signature is legible anymore. It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't
because
at all.
You can literally just squiggle a line. When I check out at the supermarket or something like that, I just draw a line. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You don't have to make letters that people can read, right?
Right.
So I need some help here. Tell me what this could be. I mean, this is a law that is spreading. Like I said, this Ohio is the latest state, but all those other states I mentioned already have it. What's the thinking behind teaching kids cursive? I understand teaching kids to write. I understand not giving that up by saying, oh, everything's going to be typed. Kids should learn how to write, at least to print. You should be able to fill out a birthday card for grandma, right, with your own handwriting.
Yeah, like uppercase, lowercase, like right. Teach right. All
yes.
The, yeah,
okay. Yes. But why cursive? What could the possible reason be?
I mean, where are calligraphers going to learn how to do it if not in school?
Yeah, the 100 few people per state that help you with your wedding.
I'd say even less, yeah.
I'm going to tell you that calligraphy programs on computers have eliminated the need for somebody to write about. They can just print that right
out. Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying that...
There's the human touch, Bean.
They have that. I mean, you can get people to do that. What else could the reason be?
I mean, honestly, I don't have an answer other than you need to be able to sign your name. I can't come up with anything else.
What am I missing here?
I guess the guy who collects Blu-rays will okay. explain that one day everything is going to fail. Mm. Like computers, the whole thing is going to shut down. We know this.
I've seen The Walking Dead. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, this is all going to happen. All your saved movies are going to disappear, and I'll be the one watching Swingers for the eighth time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's similar maybe in this way, is that we always have to settle for the eventual Amish lifestyle.
Okay.
And then we would know both printing and cursive.
But why would you need cursive?
Yeah.
You can print.
In that situation, why would you need it?
There's no computer, so you print.
I guess, but it is a traditional format that I think somehow scholars are still holding on to it.
Plus, in that environment that we're in, this Amish
dystopian,
yep. We've got to send out invites. Right?
I mean,
they gotta look
got
good.
A point.
Thank
There's
you.
No paperless post.
Right.
Yeah.
The word nerds, this article says that the Pioneer Institute argue that students should learn cursive because it would allow them to read historical documents such as the Constitution and the Magna Carta.
Sure,
which, by the
scrolls.
Way, which, by the way, are printed on the internet. I mean, you can find...
I spend a lot of time with scrolls.
Me too.
But you can find the U.S. Constitution on a website in 5 seconds.
Yep,
you can read it.
When that dies and kids are like, Mama, read the Dead Sea Scrolls to me. I'll be like, no problem, kid.
So because of that, everyone in Ohio should learn cursive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an answer other than that.
I guess we've decided.
I'm always prepping for the apocalypse, and this makes sense to me a little.
I mean, we all learned cursive, and none of us can write it anymore.
Correct, yeah.
Why teach new kids how to learn it and forget it?
New kids
just,
are there?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
No idea.
Joey loves cursive.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I got to tell you something. I like being racist.
Dave the King of Mexico 1, Netflix 0.
Oh.
Wow. That happened.
Wow.
That happened.
Yeah. He's taking
he
down,
on the
taking
biggest
down the...
streaming service in the world and beat them.
Yeah,
yes.
The streaming man.
Right. New edition of Animal Stories today.
Wow, first new kids and now new edition,
right? Allie wants a penis.
Yeah.
People are dumb on the show today.
People are always dumb on this show, Kevin.
You're true, and I'm the one hosting it. There's a new app that will give you a heads up on an earthquake. Now, we talked to the guy, I don't know, what was it,
A long time ago.
Who was sort of behind it and trying to figure out how to do it. And if the epicenter is far enough from you, they can give you like a full minute heads up.
Yeah, and my mom posted about this last night, which means it's not working. It's probably a failure.
Okay.
But she was very happy. She was like, oh, we all get a warning now. And I was like, oh, boy.
So we're going to talk to the guy behind that as well. We have passenger shaming. Allie came back from Ireland and wanted to strangle people.
I wanted to fight a whole family.
And it's Friday morning, so we have Keep It 100 as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Allie's here. Time for our first look at what's happening on a Friday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yay.
Yeah. You guys, we've talked about Ed Sheeran before and how it's basically just him and a guitar up there on the stage. Not a lot involved, really, with his tours.
And he just sells out stadiums everywhere.
Stadiums. Huge arenas. Just him and a guitar.
He does not even bring the other Keebler elves.
Which would make sense as to why his 2018 Divide tour raked in a historic amount of money. Do you want to know how much his tour made?
Well, I know he made more than Taylor even this year, so we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
We are, indeed. How about $429.5 million for the Divide Tour? And that's not talking about all the other stuff that he does. That's just, you know, his money from that tour. That's mind-boggling to me. Now, imagine if he had, like, a keyboardist and tuba.
Or brought the whole Lollipop Guild.
Oh, you guys. Imagine. That's crazy amount of money, you guys.
That is, yeah.
How do we stop it? Or how do we become Ed Sheeran?
Right.
Is what I really mean.
Important to like him.
You guys, would you be interested in seeing a new musical adaptation of The Notebook coming soon to Broadway?
Not the tiniest bit.
Not even a little.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell you about it. No?
I mean,
all right.
You could, but we'll do now.
Okay, no one really cares. All right. If I asked you guys, what is the most streamed genre of music? What would you say?
I would say hip-hop.
I would say hip-hop, too, hip-hop. Just because it's so huge.
You would say
you
that.
You wouldn't ask that, though, if it was hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I think.
Oh.
Are we wrong?
Conspiracy Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I feel like a lot of times people only ask questions like that if it's not what you automatically think.
Mm-hmm. You're on to her.
Yeah.
What is it?
No, it's hip-hop. But here's why I bring it up. Hip-hop accounted for the highest percentage of the total on-demand streams, audio streams, and video streams. Pop had the second highest percentage, then a virtual tie for third with rock and Latin. But you know what? That don't account for money in your pocket. So what genre of music would you say was the top-selling genre of music?
Ed Sheeran.
So you'd say pop?
Yeah, I'd say pop.
Okay.
I think so, too. I'm going to say yes on pop.
Kevin.
I think so, too.
I would have thought so as well.
Oh, no.
While hip-hop dominated streaming, it was pop and rock that were most successful when it came to sales, but rock had the most vinyl sales, the most album sales, and digital album sales.
No kidding.
However, pop did have the most physical album sales and CD sales. That's, you know, people like Bean going to Target to get Taylor Swift. But I thought that was really interesting.
Wow, interesting.
So there you go, you guys.
I don't think rock sold at all anymore.
I can't even imagine how many releases they had that were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most vinyl sales, though, 41.7% of vinyl sales went to rock.
Well, I wonder if that involves reissues because rock.
I'm sure. Guarantee that's hipsters going and picking up the Zeppelin catalog.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be down on hipsters listening to Zeppelin.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's a lot of what the vinyl sales are.
Absolutely.
I don't think that represents a healthy rock market in 2019.
But the most album sales and digital album sales, that's crazy. Yeah. I did not see that coming at all. Yeah. I don't know if I believe this article. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I read the just kidding. After all that, wouldn't that be funny, you guys? You guys, I should have started with this, because you should start with the bad, and then you just kind of end with the good. But I'm doing it backwards.
Okay, good.
Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik have reportedly broken up again. I know.
Damn it!
They're done, Vin, I'm sorry. A source has told Us Weekly that they're done. However, this was their next quote. They could get back together, but it's over for now. Okay. Sorry. I didn't want to do this.
I'm really invested in that relationship.
I didn't want to.
What do I do with my tattoo?
Okay. It's
all right.
Sir. It's
all right. It's okay. They broke up in March of last year, and they got back together in April. So there's no telling what these crazy kids will do. But
holding hope.
I just want to let you guys know. I want you to hear it from me.
I didn't even know. That is so sad.
I know. Some birthdays for you. Michael Stipe from REM. Actors Julia Ormond and Dave Foley. And actor slash comedian slash musician Charlene Yee. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, Friday morning, you guys. Ready for a little animal stories?
Mm-hmm. Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Wonderful animals in the news this week. I'm proud to bring to you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, you've been to London.
I have.
You ever see any foxes running around town?
A lot of foxes.
Animals.
No, I apologize.
They are very common in certain parts of the city. In Kensington, I know they got a bunch of them. This one actually happened in the Mitcham district. Kim Fryer is her name, said that her daughter was the first one to spot it. She came downstairs around 7 a.m. on December 15th and saw a fox curled up, sound asleep, on top of the family microwave. That would be a surprise, I think, for anyone,
yes.
Right? I have five cats and a dog, so obviously I have a cat flap. We call a doggy door. He must have crawled under the gate and through the cat flap. So they called the animal hospital. They called the Putney Animal Hospital, who sent somebody right around, and they captured the... Why are you laughing? Because you're thinking of something dirty for a cat flap. It's just a way for little animals to get in and out of the house.
I'm just saying, Allie, rename it.
Come on. So they gathered up the fox, took him to the hospital, checked him out. He was quite healthy, had a beautiful fluffy coat, gave him a thorough check. He was released back into the area, and he was fine. Good luck, Mr. Fox, they said.
Aww.
I would think that most Americans would freak out if there was a fox curled up sleeping on their microwave, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're so cute, though. And the more you talked about that story, I stayed in Kensington with your wife, and we saw a ton of foxes in that area.
No so, kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I'm done. Bye.
So you had forgotten that. That was totally. The impact that it made on you.
But it was a long time ago.
It was last summer.
Right.
I am going to read this from the Washington Post. This is a bizarre and fascinating story to me. A relaxed-looking juvenile Hawaiian monk seal lounges near a sandy white beach on some green foliage. His eyes are half closed and it has a serene expression on his face. But the seal's calm demeanor is surprising. Why? Well, there's a long black and white eel dangling from its right nostril. It's just
what?
So shocking, says Claire Simeone, a veterinarian and monk seal expert based in Hawaii. It's an animal that has another animal stuck up its nose. Apparently, this photo went viral. It all began around 2 years ago when the lead scientist of the monk seal program woke up to a strange email. It was the first time they had seen it. The subject line was eel in nose. It was like, hey, we just found a seal with an eel in its nose. Do we have a protocol? They did not at that time. There was about 2 inches of the eel actually sticking out of a nose. Okay. So it was like
how
a
many protocols do they have? What'd they have?
That's page 74. That one.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they did have a protocol?
Yes.
Scientists say it was very much akin to a magician's trick where they're pulling out handkerchiefs and they just keep coming in. It took a minute of tugging and a 2.5-foot dead eel emerged from the seal's nostril. This is the fourth reported case, by the way, in this area of Hawaii. They have no idea why it suddenly happened. You see some strange things if you watch nature long enough. This could end up being one of those little oddities and mysteries of our careers that 40 years from now we'll be retired and still questioning how it happened. But I am gently pleading with the monk seals to stop inhaling eels. What do you suppose that's about?
I don't like it.
That's just weird. I don't know.
A man overheard shouting death threats at a spider sparked a massive police response in Australia. Neighbors of the man in Perth became concerned when they were walking by and heard him shouting, "Why don't you die?" So, caller to 911 also reported, which is not, they don't call it 911 in Australia, whatever their number code is. The caller also reported hearing a child screaming. So as you can imagine, multiple police units were called and responded with their lights and sirens flashing. It was revealed once they got inside, the man was just trying to kill a spider because he had a serious fear of the insect. His wife, who was at the property at the time, confirmed that the child had also been screaming because of all of the drama and confusion, as a matter of fact. So everybody's fine. He apologized for the inconvenience to the police. No injuries except to the spider. Look, do I have to say it again? Don't kill spiders, people. Spiders are good guys.
Bean had a dead spider as a pet for like 6 years.
He was a tarantula.
Never moved. I loved him.
My point is that spiders are good. Don't kill them.
Right.
A curious cat named Baloo was mistakenly shipped more than 700 miles away from his home in Nova Scotia, Canada, after crawling into a parcel destined for Alberta. The tabby's owner, Jacqueline Lake, said that the mischievous one-year-old cat had secretly sneaked into the bottom of a package containing tire rims. The day after the parcel had been sent, she began searching for the missing family pet.
Yeah.
Did not know that they had taped up the box and mailed the cat away.
Right, sure. Huh.
We knocked door to door. We searched the woods. We searched under the decks, right, in the garages, under the steps. He was gone. They figured it out. Oh, my God. He must have been in the box. So they contacted the delivery company, and 17 hours into the cross-country road trip, the driver went back and opened up that box, and the cat was in there, and he was fine.
What?
700 miles away from home, this cat was in a box.
I think she mailed the cat. She didn't want to.
She didn't mail the cat.
I'm done with the cat.
Yeah.
I've had it. I'm putting you in a box. Goodbye.
Yeah. I wonder if they had a cat flap.
That's just gross, Bean. Why would you...
Here's the strangest story to close out this edition of Animal Stories. Perhaps you saw this over the holidays. Dave Barry and his family are awful, awful people. They have illegally killed maybe 100 deer in the forests of southern Missouri over the last decade. Nobody knows how many, but they kill them for the trophy. They kill them for the heads and antlers. They mount them. All right?
Okay.
And then they just leave the body to rot. So they're illegally poaching, essentially, is what they're doing. So when they were rounded up and went to court, the judge, in addition to sentencing them to $200,000 in fines and jail time, decreed that the leader of the family, Dave Barry, would be required to watch the movie Bambi every month that he was in jail. Beginning before or on December 23rd, 2018. So he's already watched it at least one time. He has to watch it again sometime in January. Then he has to put on the Bambi again in February and March. Do you think that movie is going to teach a lesson to a guy who has killed 100 deer?
No.
Do you think that he will look
say no.
Nah.
Spoiler alert, by the way. Bambi's mom is urging Bambi to run into the woods because there are gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next, I think, is what the judge is hoping this guy will take away from it and go, maybe I won't kill quite so many deer when I get out. It's always weird when we see these cases where a judge exercises some creative sentencing. I see what he's trying to do here.
Right.
I just wonder if this guy maybe is beyond the magic of Disney. What do you guys think?
I think so, too.
I would absolutely agree.
Not going to happen. But I hope hope he gets out of jail with his cat flap intact. That would be my concern if I were Mr. Barry. Fine. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
First, it's time for Woke Dave.
'Cause Dave's woke.
That's right, stupid, I'm woke.
He's not creeping.
No, I'm not creeping.
You won't find him.
I'm rad.
On couches sleeping.
Oh, I like slep.
'Cause Dave's woke.
That's right, I'm gonna do woke things.
Omar's still on vacation?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, how are you woke?
Well, guys, I took on a streaming giant this week. And I won.
Okay.
You know?
I was very shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet pleasantly surprised. And you were right. That's the thing I was shocked about.
Yeah. That was right.
Dave was right.
Well, tell us what happened, King.
Well, it started on New Year's Eve. you know, I'm doing what a lot of people do is just sit and watch TV. Mm-hmm. And we decided to watch Mulan on Netflix.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. So I said,
this is an animated movie from
1998.
1998. Okay. Yeah. And so you waited 20 years to watch Mulan.
All right.
Yes. New Year's Eve is when
perfect time. All right. Yes. And, you know, I knew that it starred our one of our friend of our show, friend of the show, Ming-Na Wen.
Who we love.
Who we love, yes.
Yeah. Right.
And so I watched a movie, and then I noticed, I thought of something, and I was like, hey, where was she in the credits and Netflix, like in the preview?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about like the header, like the thing up top that says the plot of the movie and the actor's names.
Yeah, in the credits. So when you're choosing the movie, you see who's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed she wasn't in it.
Does she have a small role?
She's only Mulan.
She's Mulan.
Right. That's what I thought. She's Mulan, right? So how is she not the star of that? And by that, I mean, shouldn't her name be first?
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So I was like, huh, interesting. So I took a picture of it, tweeted it out, and said, hey, finally saw Mulan and loved it. The only problem with it is I had Ming-Na was not listed on the cast. This must be fixed, Netflix, and it's my timely movie review.
That is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So then a couple of hours later, she picks up on it and says, yeah, that's effed up, Netflix. I believe another Asian American lead voice should also be credited, BD Wong. How about all the Mulan fans out there tweet Netflix about this major oversight? Thanks.
Wow. Look at her riding on your coattail.
Look at that.
No, and I'm glad that she saw it. And I just thought, listen, she's the star. There was a couple other people who were the stars. They should be on the front credit because that's why I watched it, was because of Ming-Na.
Mm-hmm. Who did they list as the actors doing the voices for the movie, Dave?
They listed...
It's Miguel Ferreira,
yes.
Harvey Firestein, and June Foray. That was who was listed.
Yes.
So three white people instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess their argument could be that they were alphabetical order, but then that doesn't make sense based on... the other characters that they listed off, right? So, like,
yeah,
that's not a true argument back.
Yeah, because the third credit in IMDb was an Asian actor. And that's off the Netflix thing.
And would have fit in alphabetically.
That's crazy.
Oh. So, and people were responding to me about like that.
First of all, it's crazy they did it. Second of all, again, it's crazy you noticed.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, you know,
and that you took the time to write to them.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Dave's woke.
Right?
And can we just point out, your New Year's Eve sucks.
And then we went through every Pixar and checked out the homepage.
Well, no, but you know, so people started tweeting me back that, oh, it's alphabetical order, you know, relax. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. And so I checked other movies.
By the way, hold on a second.
Not true.
Dave said, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Hold on. And we can actually isolate that, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Dave said...
Because we can use that a lot.
Yes. He said he's wrong. He admitted being wrong.
Hey, let me just ask this, devil's advocate. Is it possible that Ming-Na was not a big enough star at that point to lead the... You know, you see a lot of movies now, and there's a massive star buried deep in the credits because at the time the movie came out, he wasn't a massive star. Is that possible?
But she was Mulan.
Yeah. Right, but she wasn't a name, maybe? Is that what... Could that have been the thinking?
But you think about, like, Aquila and the Bee. That person wasn't... That little kid wasn't a big star, and she was the lead.
I think if you're the lead, you're the lead.
Okay, fair enough.
Like Napoleon Dynamite, he wasn't known when it came
John
out.
Yeah, John Heater.
John Heater should still be the first name listed.
Yeah, I agree. I was just trying to figure out any reason why they would do it the way they did that's not racist.
You're racist, right. Miguel Ferreira? Dead.
Yeah. June Foray, dead. So who got the last laugh, really?
Really? I didn't even know that.
All right, so what happened? So what happened, Dave? So you threw this out there, and then the fans start getting in. Ming-Na starts getting in.
Yeah.
How long does it take before you hear something back from Netflix?
The next day.
The fact that you heard back from Netflix is shocking.
The next day, Netflix tweets out to us, thank you and K-Rock.com so much for pointing this out to us.
It's K-R-O-K-O-M, by the way. That's
yeah.
Twitter.
It has now been fixed. Love you and BD Wong are legends. Done.
Wow.
Done. That's
very impressive.
Done.
Dave corrected Netflix
in
one day.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Let's legitimately give him a round of applause. Sincerely.
You're like the Mandela of credits.
Thank you.
That was great, Dave.
Just happy to help out a friend.
I like woke Dave.
Yeah. And now, CVS, I'm coming for you and your waste of receipts, buddy.
Oh!
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Right?
They give you reams and reams of paper. I don't know why.
Nothing you're interested in.
The receipt is 17 feet long.
Yeah.
I bought one item. got a sash of receipts.
Oh, man. They got Wake Dave. Wake Dave.
What?
No. They got.
Nope. Keep going. Finish it up, Kevin.
Yes. Yes.
Kevin was just giving everybody the signal to shut up.
Do it. Come on.
You can do it.
Every
art woke Dave on their tail. That's what I was trying to say.
Because Dave's woke.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
All right, Allie, it's time.
Yeah?
This off-air conversation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
How did it even get started? Do you remember?
No, it started on air. Yeah. Because there was an article about Keira Knightley who said that if she could have a penis for a day, she would do it just so she could pee standing up and pee against a tree.
Right.
To which I asked the gentleman on the show, I said, wouldn't you guys want to have a vagina for the day just to see what it's like? And you all looked at me like I was crazy. And then I said, well, every woman has thought about having a penis for a day. To which Chip said, yeah, nope, not even a little bit. And I was like, come on.
What?
And I am adamant that every woman has thought about having a penis. Why?
Even though
for
Chip
a day.
Already told you no.
No, she's lying.
Okay.
She's lying.
How about mm-hmm. Christine? What did assistant producer Christine say?
Oh, I didn't even ask Christine. She doesn't speak of such things. Such filth.
Why are you so hot to have a penis? This is a question I never thought I'd ask.
Here's why.
Just you vehemently, strongly seem to want to try this, if possible.
Yes, just to see what it feels like to have a penis. Not just for the simple things of, you know, whipping it out and tinkling whenever and wherever you want to.
You know, guys can't do that, right?
I know what it's like to have what I have and what it feels like having sex. I would like to know what it feels like for what you guys have. I think it would be awesome. I'd love it. Am I saying I'd leave the house? Probably not for the whole day. I have a whole day of things planned for me and my penis.
See, that's
going to be amazing.
That's the odd thing is that you've thought it through enough that you have a plan for a whole day.
Absolutely.
But let's take some
calls if there are other girls.
Yeah. Yes.
If there's anyone else that's
first
female.
Of all, okay. I put on Twitter, I said yesterday on Kevin and Bean, I said most women have wondered what it would like to be to have a penis for a day. My coworkers think I'm wrong. Ladies, what say you? Would you like to know the results of the poll?
I would,
yes, please.
61%. Of course I have.
Oh.
39%. Nope. And judging from the comments that I received, not only on Twitter, but a lot on Instagram, women were like, we've all thought it. Anyone that says they haven't is lying. Chip, they're calling you a liar
Chip's
on Instagram.
Lying. Wow.
I'm just saying. I think in some shape or form, we've all thought, I wonder what that would be like. Maybe you don't want it for a whole day. Whatever. An hour. 20 minutes. 10 seconds. You've thought about it.
1-800.
If you just want to know what sex is like, 10 seconds.
1-800-520-1067. We're looking for ladies who share Allie's fantasy about having a penis, if
it's
only for a day.
It's not a fantasy, is it a first fantasy? Of all. Not even a little bit.
Sounds like it.
No.
It's
not
like all sexy.
No.
Wishing for.
No. But I will say, we're going to talk to listener Rosita because she tweeted me, I just finished listening to yesterday's podcast. I'm with you. I've thought about having a penis for a day, and I just told my boyfriend my plans for it. Hashtag penis for a day. Hashtag wiggle it. Hashtag helicopter. And I'm like, we got to talk to listener Rosita because she's making perfect sense to me.
All right, let's talk to listener Rosita. She can be up first. 1-800-520-1067. Rosita, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
So, like Allie, it has crossed your mind, I wonder what it would be like to have male genitalia instead of female.
I mean, multiple times. I mean, how can you not?
Okay. Amen.
How can you not?
I guess the reason I'm surprised by it is because it's never occurred to me in reverse. So it just seems foreign to me to kind of wish for that. I don't know. What would you do with it?
She already hashtagged helicopter.
I mean, besides wiggling it and doing like the helicopter, I'd probably try to pee behind a tree just to see what it is. Or, you know, moving around. Besides the basic stuff that guys already do,
right?
Masturbation or whatever. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I would probably just go outside and try to pee behind a tree and be like, okay, I did it. And dress it up. I don't know. Do something with it.
Did you say dress it up?
Did you say dress it up?
Yes.
Like a little bow tie and monocle?
Lucky jackass. Yes. Yeah. The Monopoly Man. Yes.
Rosita, you're the best.
You I are love the you best. So much.
Thank you for calling hashtag wiggle it. Allie, you said you might not even leave your apartment. Does that mean you are not interested at all in trying to have sex with it, or would you just invite somebody?
Oh, someone's coming over for sure. Okay. I'm getting some. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
100%.
All right. Ouch. Let's try Stacy in the LBC, please. Line 3 up next on the Kevin DeVine Show.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. You thought of this too?
Oh, I'd want it for at least a week.
A week?
Oh, whoa.
Wow. Now, what would you, Allie had a whole day planned. You have a whole week planned?
Oh, yeah. There's so many things you could do.
All right. What can you say on the radio that you can do with your newfound penis?
I mean, aside from just the convenience factor of being able to, you know, pee wherever you want, I'd want to go visit the snow, draw my name in the snow.
Oh,
sure.
Yes.
Didn't think of it. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many times you have to squat in a parking lot in emergency and you pee and you hit your sock? I mean,
all over your foot. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Tell me.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Like Allie said, I want to know what it feels like on the other side. I mean, guys seem to have it a little bit easier. We have to kind of work a little harder to get where we're going.
That's very true. It is easier. Yeah. That's true.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Okay. I do like that Stacy already has a road trip planned for her and her penis. Mm-hmm.
Right.
For sure.
It's quite a plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope both of you ladies have your wishes come true. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it so much. Let's go to line 2. This is going to be Lily. She's in Fullerton. She's coming at this from a completely different angle.
Hey, Lily.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So if I had a penis, first of all, I'd want to have a boner.
Yeah.
I don't really care about having sex. I just want to know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, first of all.
Could I just suggest that it feels like you want to have sex, is what it feels like.
Yeah, I don't even care about, like, the end result.
You would, though, if you if you really had it, you would care a lot.
You would suddenly get pretty handsy, Lily, is what Kevin's trying to tell us. All right, so that's thing one. What's thing two?
I want to be kicked so bad.
Oh.
Because I want to know.
No, you don't.
Debate.
You do not want to know that pain.
She wants to know, I think like most of us want to know, how bad it hurts, because you guys are such unbelievable, like, it's the worst pain in my life. It's probably like a cramp to us.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying you.
I kicked my fiance the other day, and he started crying.
Huh? What?
Okay, this is taking a real turn.
Wait, tell me. Go back where you started talking about your fiance.
I accidentally kicked him the other day, and he started crying.
Yeah.
And I said, babe, I'm sorry, but I can't understand that pain. I wish I had a penis.
But
I could understand.
Can't you just take his word for it that it hurt a lot?
I can, but I want to know.
I was pitching in high school in a baseball game, and I got a line drive right, and I was laying down. I needed to throw up immediately.
Yeah.
And I literally couldn't move.
Yeah.
And then our coach came over and said, you know everyone's looking at you, right? And I was like, I do know, but there's nothing I can do about it.
We have humans come out of our bodies.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Lily,
I mean,
and
it doesn't have to be you're better, even
Lily
though you
and,
are.
Allie, so we're, just so we're all on the same page, we're talking testes too, right?
It's you got to have,
you want the whole package.
You got to have
package.
Something to work with.
All right, Lily. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's close with one more. Let's make it Allison. She's on line 7. She's in L.A. She has thought of something else to do with her new penis.
Hey, Allison.
Hey. Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Great. Thank you.
What do you think?
Honestly, the first thing I would do is probably just jump around, run in place, do some jumping jacks.
Like naked, so you can feel it flopping? I hear you. Yes. I'm with you, Allison.
What a weird... One girl wants to get kicked, another wants to do jumping jacks. What's wrong with you people?
Hey, it's something we've never had before. Come on.
I mean,
she wants to run in place. I love you.
All right, you win.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Kevin, I know you generally don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Correct.
But when you do, what have you found out about people?
They're dumb. People are dumb.
People
Dumb.
First one is a 30. I have 3 foot stories. 3 stories that include feet.
Go on.
All right. Are any of these the rash of human feet that have washed up on shores in British Columbia?
No.
Because there's like 13 of them now.
There's like 3 stories and none of them are that.
13 human feet have washed up on the shores in British Columbia. Nobody knows where they're coming from or who's missing them.
It's an odd
also,
number.
The excitement in Bean's voice. Yeah. Is it the one about the feet in the water? It's just like so excited.
Yeah. A 37-year-old man named Peng, that's all they will tell us, in China, checked into a hospital complaining of a horrific cough and chest pain. He was diagnosed with a severe fungal infection.
Oh.
While doctors examined him, he told them that he had, quote, been addicted to smelling his socks after wearing them.
Oh, no. Please, uh-uh. Dear God.
As no. a result, the patient caught an infection from the fungus that had developed in his footwear and spread to his lungs, which, by the way, can be deadly.
Oh, my God.
Real.
Allie, this right? is in that category of people you were talking about yesterday. Do not aid this man. Do not abet this man. Do not, not cure
let him,
this
just
man.
Let him die?
Yes.
Just let him keep doing what yes. he's doing. We don't need him.
Another one out of China. Earlier this month, a man identified with the last name of Yang was allegedly attempting to burglarize a hotel in China. So he wanted to be really quiet, so he took off his shoes so that he could tiptoe across the floor. Little did he know, the hotel owner was in the next room and was like, "What is that smell?"
Oh.
Walked out of his room and caught the guy red-handed, red-footed. I don't know what to call it, but
smell-footed.
Smell-footed, yeah. He got caught and arrested because his feet smelled so much. These are not great stories, are they? And,
I mean, it's terrific breakfast conversation. Mm-hmm.
Another burglar in China, and I don't know why they're all out of China either, has been caught by removing his shoes. Earlier this year, the criminal was caught sneaking into a home. He was looking around for money and jewelry or whatever, and they came home while he was there, and he hid under the bed.
Huh.
And same thing as the hotel owner. The people came home, and they're like, "What is that smell?"
Good Lord, people, wash your feet.
Right? And certainly don't smell your socks.
No.
I think that's some good advice.
I mean, don't knock until you try.
Oh, dear.
Attempted car thief calls police for help escaping Volvo. Is it Volvo or Volvo?
No, it's not Volvo.
You're about to say Volvo.
No, I was very close. That's what I was afraid of. Police in Norway say a 17-year-old who was trying to steal a car from a dealership ended up getting locked in it and had to call the police to have him get out of the car.
Oh, sweetie.
Now, I don't know why he explained to the police that he was trying to steal it, because it was at a dealership. Why
not? Yeah, say I sat in it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, he told them that he was planning on stealing it.
Dumb.
Sounds like people are not smart.
People are dumb. I'm sure you saw the video of the guy trying to steal a bike outside the police station.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Have you seen that? It's absurd. They have cameras on it. Cops are inside watching the video of a man walk up to just outside the front door of a police station in Oregon trying to steal the bike. And a cop just walked out, pointed his taser at the guy. The guy just gave himself up.
Dumb.
Right outside of a police station. Dumbest person ever. Well, maybe not the dumbest person ever. 2 women are charged with robbing a Target store in Detroit while more than a dozen uniformed police officers were inside the store one aisle over.
Maybe know your surroundings.
The Shop with a Cop benefit for children was happening at Target in Bloomfield Hill. Police officers were only about 20 feet away when she decided to leave with every single thing that they had. They had 2 Apple Watches, 2 iPads, and a Nintendo game system.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of a good theft, though. All good
I mean, it's all good things, but not if there are not costume, but cops that were wearing their uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 of them.
Uniformed is the word you were looking for.
Right. That's the word I was looking for, right. And finally, I'm going to give you guys a chance to guess at a few of the details of this story. 2 people dove into the water, swam to a boat, and then they were going to try and take stuff from that boat. It didn't work out that way.
The owners of the boat say it was 2 guys, and you really won't believe this. Just take a look at inside. It is a disaster in there. But it wasn't what they took. It was what these incompetent crooks didn't take that had the owners dumbfounded.
In here, everything was chaos. The lids were off, the ice chests were all tipped over.
Kelly Hoffman was out of town when it happened. She came home to find the house in shambles. The living room upside down, the kitchen wrecked, all the drawers open, and much of the food eaten. They ransacked the bedrooms, bathrooms, and made their way up to the patio with...
Made their way up to the patio with...
Cocktails.
Something they were trying to steal. I'm going to guess that it was something that was way too heavy for them to steal, and they didn't... The thing they didn't bring was a getaway car, so they had no place to put the couch or whatever it was they were trying to steal.
They swam?
Yes.
Oh, it's electronics. It's a TV.
And made their way up to the patio with s'mores.
S'mores. They brought stuff to make s'mores.
See, I thought because they were going through the kitchen that they wanted to eat and drink. Oh, that's
amazing.
You guys
know what that means, right?
S'mores.
No, they were stoned as
they
hell.
They were so high.
So they were like, yo,
so high.
We have to rob them, but also I got the munchies.
Set at the fire pit and all the s'mores fixings were out.
They used the jacuzzi not just to bathe, but to...
They use the jacuzzi not just to bathe, but to...
Urinate.
Oh. Okay, urinate. Allie?
Bone.
Bone? B?
Swam.
They use the jacuzzi not just to bathe, but to defecate in it. Took naps.
Kevin.
Stole the family's Christmas gifts and kayak.
Wait, how are you saying that? I didn't do it?
This
what are you
is
doing?
Awful, Kevin.
You're a terrible person.
This is dumb crime.
The beach
go straight to hell. What's happening? This is people are dumb.
Get off my
That's
phone.
That's the feature. I'm not finished either, by the way.
And took off. But not without something really important.
We were emptying the hats and putting them back up that they forgot to take. They'd filled a pillowcase full of hats. So we started putting them back. And I got to the bottom and I felt something wet. And I pulled it out. And I was like...
What did you pull out that was wet?
Why is there a pillowcase full of hats?
I don't know why did they do that.
Because they were high. They were high. They wanted the hats. But they were like, I need a s'more more.
So this is what, such a party.
What was in the bag that was wet?
Chicken cutlet.
I think a hair piece, like a wet...
Like a wig?
Yeah.
Bean?
A turtle.
I felt something wet, and I pulled it out, and I was like, oh my God, this idiot left a wallet, and the police were still here, and so we couldn't even believe it.
It was the man's wallet.
It was the man's wallet.
Unbelievable.
They dove in the water to go to the boat, and he left... His wet wallet on the boat.
I know there will be consequences from the crime, but it sounds like it was worth it. That sounds like the best day of those guys' lives.
Dumb.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I know we have spoken with Ron Lynn from the Los Angeles Times about earthquakes before. How did Ron... Is Ron on the phone?
Yes, Ron is on the phone.
Ron, how'd you get to be such an expert on earthquakes, my friend?
Because I was born on the day of the earthquake in the Bay Area back in 89. It was my seventh birthday.
Wow. How about that? And you have been in, working with the LA Times. You have been, obviously, that's been a big story in California over the years, and it's just something that piqued your interest. You've kind of been following?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Well, this earthquake app that we talked about on the show, it seems like a couple of years ago, according to your report in the Times, long-awaited earthquake early warning app for LA can now be downloaded. This is going to be very big news for a lot of people who are hearing it for the first time. What's the story, Ron?
Yeah, so, you know, for years now, scientists have been hoping that, you know, once an earthquake happens, if you're a little bit further away from it, that you'll get an alert on your phone or your computer saying that an earthquake shaking is on your way. And so finally, after years of waiting, this week, people in LA County finally can download an app that will help that get us to that point.
Is this something the government came up with, or is this a private enterprise? Is this another a Tesla job or something?
At the moment, it's government. So basically, the U.S. Geological Survey, your friendly earthquake experts, have created this system of sensor stations around California, and they're designed to detect earthquakes when they happen. So, we're in LA and an earthquake starts at the Salton Sea, the sensors will start detecting the earthquake, and then if it looks like it's headed straight toward LA, then you know it takes about a minute, maybe a minute and a half for those earthquake waves. If it's like a 7.8 megaquake, for it to hit downtown LA,
right?
So an alert will be sent by the computer to our phones. We'll get an alert before the shaking waves.
What's the most amount of time that you can get a warning?
It could be even as maybe 60 to maybe 70 seconds, you know, in a situation where an earthquake starts at the Salton Sea and is barreling up the San Andreas Fault, past Palm Springs, past the San Bernardino, into the San Gabriel Mountains, which is only about 35 miles north of downtown L.A.
But if there's an earthquake and the epicenter is, say, Montebello, you're not going to get that alert if you're anywhere near Montebello, right?
True. If the earthquake happens right underneath you, there's not that much of a lag time between when the earthquake starts and when you first feel a shaking wave.
So what about like Orange County to the Valley?
Orange County
where
to the Valley?
Where it's a sizable...
Well, yeah. Well, there's a good example for when in like 5 years ago now, there was that 5.1 that rattled people in La Habra and Roland Heights. Mm-hmm. It took about 5 seconds. There was a 5 seconds warning if you were in Pasadena.
I don't want a 5 second warning. You don't want it. No, don't want it.
Why?
No, that's not enough.
No, just wake me up in the middle of the night with the shaking instead.
Really?
Of
yeah. 5 seconds is too quick. Yeah.
But five.
I was with you at 30 seconds. 5 seconds, I don't want it. Please throw this apple.
You don't want it.
Yeah, no, I want it burned out.
I'll tell you, I was in Japan, and like the only words in Japanese that I understand is, this is an earthquake early warning system. And like 4 a.m, I was in Japan and I heard the words coming out of my phone and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And the earthquake happened and it gave me this huge sense of relief that I knew what was going on before it actually happened.
How many seconds did you have there?
It must have been like 5 or 10 seconds.
Oh, 10's different.
All right, is 10 you're good?
I'm not playing 10.
What's
my over-under? My over-under might be 10.
10 seconds?
10 seconds. Okay, there it goes. Get up. Oh, God. I think that is an earthquake thing. I still have like 6 seconds. In 5 seconds, it's just me computing what it is.
Right.
That's not going to help me. It's going to scare me more.
But you know it's coming, so you're ready to go or do whatever you need to do.
It's just an earlier roll at 5 seconds.
Ron, when you had the 10 seconds warning in Japan, did that give you time to think clearly? And you said it was the middle of the night, right? Did you go and stand in a doorway, for instance?
No, I was too sleepy, so I was
Ron, our expert. Exactly our expert, right there with me. 5 seconds is garbage. The app doesn't work if it can't get the test.
Does it matter if it's at night or during the day? Because if it's at night, maybe 5 seconds isn't anything because you're out of it, whatever.
5 seconds is just me picking up my phone. Oh, what is that? Do I have a Ring app notice? Nope, not a Ring app. Okay. Oh, it's an earthquake. And then we're all
shaking. You're already feeling it.
Hey, Ron, this is Ron Lynn on the phone. He is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about the earthquake early warning app that can now be downloaded. What's the smallest earthquake that will set this off to give people advance warning?
So it'll be about a magnitude 5 earthquake, or also if you get like basically light shaking just enough to like rattle dishes.
Okay, all right. How do people? What do they look for in the app in the app store if they want to download it?
So just search Shake Alert LA.
Shake Alert LA.
This again.
Does it tell you?
This isn't for me. I just want to say it again.
Not for you.
This isn't for me. There's no human way. And also, I'll tell you this.
Okay.
You know how wrong they're going to get this over and over
again?
Well,
that's my thing is, are there false alarms?
Yes, there's going to be false alarms. Well, there's false alarms for everything.
I wasn't asking you.
I'm the expert. Ron.
I was hoping Ron would answer.
I said something, then Ron agreed with me. I know earthquakes. I need 10 seconds.
Poor Ron.
Yeah, Ron, what about false alarms?
What about false alarms?
You should expect false alarms. There have been studies that show that that people prefer they would rather get some false alarms rather than miss the alert when the big one actually happens. So
yeah, tell that to the people in Hawaii, by the way, when the missiles were on the way.
Yeah, this is not, guys, I'm so happy we had Ron on to prove that this app is not working. No one's going to want it. And
Let's give it a try. Great
to have you.
I'm going to say I want it.
Yeah, I'm going to say I want it.
Why not?
You want the false alarms, you want 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I don't want the false alarms, but I assume that's a negative that comes with the positive of getting a heads up.
Many people would want this. I think they would appreciate, if for no other reason, to not be surprised by an earthquake. Even if you literally don't have time to move from your chair or your bed or walking down the hall or whatever you're doing, at least you won't be surprised. You'll be braced for it. You'll expect it.
Says the guy outside LA.
Yeah, well, right. Will it give you any indication of how big the earthquake is? Like, it would be nice to know. If you had 10 seconds, it would be nice to know if it was a 4.0 or a 7.0.
How would that change in that 10 seconds for you?
I would do all different things.
Okay. You would pray harder.
I don't know. good point, Alan.
Depends
where I mean, it really does. But that makes a huge difference if it's a 4.0 or a 7.
Well, you're not going to get a 4.0. You're not going to get a 4.0. You're going to get a 5.0. And okay. A 5.0 and a 7, you saying that you would hide in different spaces?
I don't know. I was just...
He didn't think it through.
No, he didn't.
All I know
is the app is going to be popular, and then somebody's going to decide to put a 30-second commercial on the beginning of it before the warning comes, and it's going to just obliterate whatever use it would have had anyway. He is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. He is Ron Lynn. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk earthquakes with you again in the future, my friend. We appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, receipts. Man, they got Wake Dave. Wake Dave.
What?
No. They got...
Nope, keep going. Finish it up, Kevin.
Yes!
Kevin was just giving everybody the signal to shut up.
Do it! Come on!
You can do it!
You can do it!
Every art woke Dave. On their tail. That's what I was trying to say.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Real journey.
Wow.
So great.
I'm just proud that I learned so quickly to not talk while there's a flub.
It's really difficult. It's a difficult thing to do.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
That's the first moment with of 2019. Kevin was trying to say woke Dave. Could I hear it again? Please?
I don't think we need to hear
one
it.
More time.
But
time.
If more we're time. Gonna hear it again, I would like you guys to listen for Bean laughing because he's laughing so the pitch of his laugh is so high.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Receipts. Oh man, they got Wake Dave. Wake Dave.
What?
No. They got.
Nope. Keep going. Finish it up, Kevin.
Yes.
Yes. Kevin was just giving everybody the signal to shut up.
Do it. Come on.
You can do
Dave,
it.
Do it.
You can do it.
Every art woke Dave. On their tail. That's what I was trying to say.
That was A Moment. It's a new year.
That was more than a moment.
Felt good.
Not make the top 10 of 2019.
How do you make it already? It's only January 4th.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, passenger shaming. Allie had a terrible experience with some passengers on a plane recently. And it turns out there's a whole website and blog and Instagram account and industry devoted to shaming passengers on airplanes. We're going to get into all that and hear your stories when we return after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with our What's Happening on a Friday.
Yeah, on Fridays for this What's Happening segment, we like to talk about our playlist that we have. It's called That's My Jam. And every member on the Kevin and Bean Show picks a song that they are newly interested in. Maybe it's something they forgot about in the past, but it's something that we're just digging at the moment. You can find it on our Twitter, on our Facebook, on our Instagram, at Kevin and Bean. Go ahead and follow along. That's My Jam. You're going to have new music every single week. Let's start it off first with Kevin. What's your pick?
Mine is Emily King. Mm-hmm. She is a singer-songwriter from New York City. She put out her first album in 2004, but she has a new album that is coming out February 1st called Scenery. And this is a song from that new album. Also on Tuesday, January 29th, she's going to be at Amoeba.
Nice.
If you'd like to meet her. But this is the first song from that new album, and it's called Remind Me.
I can't shake the memory.
Nice.
Very 80s, by the way.
Yeah, nice. I think so,
yeah.
Too.
It's a bop. Mm-hmm. It's a
I love
bop,
that.
Baby.
It's a bop.
I like it. All right, Bean, what do you have?
No one is ever surprised when I pick a Jack White song. You guys know that I am obsessed with him. I really think he's a genius. And one of his many bands is the Raconteurs, who have been gone for a while. They have not released an album in 10 years, you guys.
Wow.
But in 2019, they got new music and a tour coming. They released two new songs this week, and the one that I have selected is the latest from the Raconteurs called Sunday Driver.
Here comes the Sunday Driver.
Oh,
come on. If you like want, but it. I still like a little bit of guitars in my music.
Yeah. What?
Right?
That's crazy.
It sounds good to me to hear that again.
It sounds
good.
I was
going
to pick that song, and then I saw Bean did. I was like, foiled.
Oh, sorry, Emily King.
Foiled
again. I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for... All right, Jensen, what is your pick?
Listen, I have picked quite a bit of stupid hip-hop, things that just sort of get me through the weekend. Mm-hmm. This one's from a rapper that I've really gotten into named Locksmith. He's a little smarter than your average rapper. He is half black, half Persian, out of Richmond, California. He's a UC Berkeley grad who started in battle rap, which, you know, obviously speaks directly to me. Since then, he's been putting out albums both as a group called Frontline and also some solo stuff. But his new album, Ali, A-L-I, named after my favorite co-host of the show, he released it. And there's so many good songs with actually like a purpose and a political message and sort of different opinions on things. And I've just really become obsessed with it. But the song I like the most is called Prison. That's my pick.
Everything's a lie, everything's a prison. Everything aside, you don't see the symptoms. Everything you try only feeds the system. Everything's a lie, everything's a prison. The same reason why Lil Pump is eating office is the same reason why Donald Trump is in office. We fail society as a whole, so how can we blame him when our president is a troll? How can we blame kids when adults are hypocritical? We say do as we say, not as we do. That's the ritual. And Kanye said slavery was an amalgam. And 2 weeks later, you sing and deal bought his album.
Anyway,
wow.
He's,
oh,
got,
damn.
He's got a
right.
Thoughtful.
He's
wow.
Got a
that was great.
He's got some things.
He's got some things on his
that's
mind.
That's no poopity scoop, I'll tell you that.
No.
It's not.
Would
deep.
You say that's a bop? Would you go that far?
No.
Okay.
No. That
not
is
a bop.
That's a banger.
It's a hot banger.
Yeah.
But it's not a bop because it's not, you can't just be like, all right. You gotta be like, oh, he has something to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, we're the problem.
I picked a joining of Chat Hugo from the Neptunes and NERD and a singer named Sierra Swan who maybe I have known since I was a child here in Los Angeles. Good friends with her friend Planet from high school. That's a whole other story, you guys. But she's got this incredible voice. She's worked with everyone from Linda Perry to the Smashing Pumpkins, Ringo Starr, Dave Stewart. She's got this voice that just, it gets kind of inside you type of voice. One of those just, oof. Okay, all right. Let's get a little ding for that. But here's the interesting thing about this five-song EP from a group called Caterwaul that they recorded this via Dropbox because she moved to the Midwest. So Chad Hugo would send her beats and stuff like that.
That's so weird.
She put it together, and they came up with this result, which is a five-song EP. And I'm telling you, I couldn't figure out which song to pick because there are some songs that I'm like, oh, that's like Susie and the Banshees and Prince had a baby. Like, it's this journey that it takes you on, and it's amazing. But I did settle on this song from Caterwaul called Purple Forever.
I feel like that sounds
it's
distorted.
A little less distorted when you listen to their EP, which is odd that happened. Trust me, listen to the whole EP. It's amazing. You won't hear that distortion right there. So that is our That's My Jam playlist, you guys. Just follow along at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Click follow, and you're going to have like 100 songs, 6 hours on there. Press shuffle. You are going to dig it, is all I'm going to say. Some birthdays for you. REM singer Michael Stipe and some actors Charlene Yee, Dave Foley, and Julia Ormond. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about people being on planes and being bad.
Oof. Here's the thing. I give parents a pass on flights. I know it's difficult traveling with children, especially, you know, babies. When you hear babies crying on a plane, I don't get angry at it. I think that poor little munchkin, their ears are hurting. I feel awful. And I know that most times the parents feel awful.
Yeah, you can tell when you get on a plane with a kid that everyone hates you.
Immediately. Yeah, absolutely. So I give, it's a wide berth.
Okay.
But my flight back from London, there was not a baby, not a toddler, probably about 7 or 8 years old, screaming.
Oh, no.
Just screaming about everything, what they wanted, what they didn't. And every now and then, the parents would be like, shh, shh, shh. But not to
That's
the
all?
Point. Not to the point where they should have been like, "Hey, I'm going to chuck you off this plane if you keep going."
Maybe that's not the
what
answer.
You say? But... Okay, that's what I was saying. But I was so just, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't the flight attendants doing anything? It was just, and when I say 2 hours of almost nonstop, just screaming.
Did you? This is the most fascinating part to me. Did you say anything to the parents?
I didn't because I thought the flight attendant would at some point. I didn't want to.
She didn't because you didn't because it's really a difficult.
It's such a weird place to be in. But then everything was made up for because at one point I got up to use the bathroom and I noticed.
And you chucked him off the plane?
No, I noticed now that this child was sleeping and mom and dad were sleeping.
Okay.
What I didn't notice until I got back to my seat was that they also had maybe a 2.5, 3-year-old with them that had unbuckled and was strolling up and down the aisles. Little pacifier in her mouth, blanket.
While they were sleeping?
While they were dead asleep. And I thought, this is insane to me. But it also made me laugh really hard. But I was keeping an eye on her because I didn't want her to like walk too far, that type of thing. So I kept going, so we were having little moments.
For the baby, not for the,
for the baby.
Parents.
No, but the parents were dead asleep. What? I get it. You're dead asleep because you have another demon child that won't shut up. But my gosh, what if something really bad could have happened if there was a wacko on that plane?
I mean, I feel like if there's two parents there and their kids there, one of you needs to stay awake.
One should stay awake.
Maybe pay attention.
It was all very odd. I hated this family, except for the little baby.
You should have hidden her in the luggage compartment because that would have been hilarious when the parents woke up and couldn't find her.
That's a great idea, Bean.
Right?
Now, Allie,
I want to fly with Bean.
No, you don't. I am really surprised because you strike me as the type of person who is not a passive person.
No.
You just be annoyed for hours. Why didn't... I know it would be uncomfortable, but why didn't you say something to the parents?
To be honest, I started watching Sharp Objects, so I had the headphones on, so it was a little bit better.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
To be honest.
You figured out a way to not have to hear it.
Not
but there were lots of other
much.
People on that plane who were miserable because of that, I bet.
And a lot, I would assume.
Yeah.
If it's screaming. Oh,
I'm
my
just,
God.
I mean, this is how afraid we are of confrontation, I guess. Even polite confrontation.
Yeah.
Is that nobody on that plane of the dozens of people nearby close enough to be bothered by it took the time or were willing to, you know, roll the dice on walking up and saying something to them.
Yeah.
No one did. Wow, that's odd. But again, I don't, well, how would you word that, Bean? Maybe you're the wrong guy, but
hey,
how would
dickwad?
Okay.
You're the wrong guy. no, I mean, how would I word it? I mean, you don't go into it confrontationally. You're not trying to cause a fight.
I baked you a bundt cake. Can you shut your kid up on a plane?
You're trying to make them aware of how annoying their kid is to everybody else. And I think I would say something like, hey, sorry to bother you, but your kid is kind of bothering everybody on the plane. Is there any way you can try to reel him in a little bit?
Is there a movie we could watch? Is there something we could figure out type of thing?
I've got NyQuil.
I mean, I feel like you'd be a hero to the other passengers if you were the one who was willing to take that chance to say something to
and
the parents.
And let's be honest, we were flying back from Dublin on New Year's Day. Mm. People had to be super hungover.
I would think so, yeah.
And maybe they were all just passed out. I don't know.
But if you have kids, you don't both pass out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it may suck for you as a parent, but I'm sorry. That's your job.
Kevin, did you ever, in the years that you had to fly with young children, did you ever have a situation where somebody spoke with you about it? Or were you always so on top of it?
No, because it's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into it knowing that everybody on the plane will be annoyed, you bring plenty of stuff for them to do, to eat. Everything and you just sort of take care of it ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a wide berth. If it's a baby crying, even a toddler crying, you understand. They don't get it. They don't understand they're on a plane.
But not everybody has the patience that you do.
It's true.
It's a horrible sound if it's not your baby. It is.
Yeah, but a 7, 8-year-old,
yeah.
I mean, thank you.
Strap them down.
let's open up the phones. I think we should do encounters with the bad people. I think that's what we should look for.
So you think this is somebody was not watching their kid, they were annoying everybody, and you did something or you saw someone else confront them?
Yes. It doesn't have to necessarily be a kid. It could be that person who, and we've all seen this, the lady whose ponytail goes down the backside of her seat in front of your face, you know?
When you're flying with Crystal Gayle. Good reference, Allie.
That is a great reference.
A super reference.
That's never happened to me, but okay.
Oh, it's happened to me on multiple occasions.
Okay, or the people that are listening to a movie without headphones.
Yeah, yes. That happens
those
too.
Those people. Yeah.
Or the people who are kicking the seats. I mean, there's lots of bad things that people can be doing. So I think what we're looking for is somebody addressed the person who was doing the bad behavior. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and somebody addressed you if you were the one that responsible for the bad behavior.
Because every once in a while, we do see stories about fights that get out of hand and the plane has to land early or the police have to beat the plane when it gets there because it gets so out of control. Hopefully, usually, it doesn't get to that point. But sometimes somebody's got to step up and say something.
Also, flight attendants, I would assume, because they're the ones you assumed that the flight attendant would take care of it.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so.
And I wonder what the protocol is with them, because that's something you could really step in.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Yeah. What are they allowed to do, even?
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of ways for you to enter in on this topic. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. If you have any experience in this area, we want to hear your story. And we'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Jim in Rancho Santa Margarita. Is that right? Santa? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Rancho Santa, you got it right.
Thank you, Jim.
So I'm on a plane. The guy sitting across the aisle to the left decides to, big heavyset dude, decides to cross his left leg over his right knee about a foot away from where I am, take his shoe off, take his sock off, and proceed to pick at his toes for about 20 minutes.
Oh! Wow! I mean, a man's got to do maintenance.
Oh, man.
All right, so what did you say to him?
I didn't. I just kept my headphones.
How did you not?
The whole point of this is you confronted the passenger with the bad behavior.
You got to stand up for something.
Right?
Yeah, I regret it.
Put your shoes on. You're an animal. That's what you should have said.
Yep.
I regret it.
This isn't a pedicure.
It does seem more like a private time activity, I think, is what I would say to him. All right, Jim, thank you for an example of what we're not looking for. If you confronted the passenger or if you were confronted for the bad behavior, we want to talk to you. Allie was on a flight back from Europe recently. There was a family where the parents were both asleep and the kids were kind of left to their own devices, running around, making all kinds of racket. And she wimped out, wouldn't say anything to him.
Again, that speaks to how good Sharp Objects is, that I was that invested in that show.
So we're looking for your calls of somebody spoke up about the bad behavior on a plane. We've all seen the bad behavior, but who has the guts to address it with the person? 1-800-520-1067. We got some good ones here. Why don't we start with Chris? He's on line one, Hawthorne, to get us going in this segment on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what a do, nephew?
What it do? Tell us your story.
So I'm a big guy. I'm about 6'5", and I'm used to like sitting in airplanes and just getting cramped and people slamming their seats into my knees and stuff like that.
Right.
But I was on a commuter flight from Vegas to Burbank, and there's these two old kids just massaging the back of my chair nonstop. So I turn around, and the dad is just like passed out in a Percocet cone or something like that. So I couldn't really do anything. Get off the flight, and I say, hey, dude, you know, maybe next time you could corral your kids. And he goes, not my back, not my problem, and just, like, walks off like, no big thing.
Oh. He had a set answer for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, wow. Dude, like, and I was just amazed because it was, like, a short 30-minute, 45-minute flight. And I'm like, how are you such an, you know.
Yes.
But,
That's crazy.
Did you, Kevin, you tell me if this is not acceptable behavior. Dad's asleep. Would it have been okay for Chris to say something to the kid directly?
Most
people don't like to have their kids
talked
to by strangers. But the kid was the one who was doing the bad behavior.
Oh, I would definitely say politely.
How old was the kid?
Oh, kids.
How old were the kids?
It was like two kids. They're like twin 8-year-olds.
Yes.
Just like
eight's fine.
Just thump in the back of the chair. I was like, ugh.
Maybe you turn around and you just go, hey, do you mind not?
Yeah, politely. Not like, hey, you rugrats. Yeah. I mean, I would just be like, hey, listen. I would just be like, hey, listen, don't. Can you not kick the back of my thing? Thanks. And then. That's that.
And then they keep doing it, and then what?
Then I punch him in the face.
All right, Chris, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate you listening. Happy New Year. Let's try Alex, line two, up next to HB.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good, thank you.
What happened, dude?
My family and I, we were coming back from New York, and there was a gentleman up in front, right in front of us, who had an extremely bad case of gas.
Oh,
and it was pretty horrific. It got to the point where I guess maybe after about an hour of this, I finally tapped the guy on the shoulder and I told him, you know, dude, you really have to go to the restroom and take care of this because this is ridiculous.
And
of course he got a little upset about it. He got verbally abusive. I thought I was going to have to reach over and grab him by the neck, but some other passengers also spoke up and told him, yeah, you really need to go to the bathroom.
Alex, did he own up to the farts?
Yeah, because how did you even know it was him?
Well, he was pretty much, he was looking around, and the person next to him was knocked out. He was asleep.
I don't think they were asleep.
Yeah.
Gassed. Noxious.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. That's a bad situation on a plane, you guys.
Sir, could you please go poo?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot.
Alex on line 3, don't go away. We are going to get to you. Let's go to Brittany in Inglewood, though, line 4, because this sounds like an interesting one where she confronted a passenger just based on their conversation, not on their behavior. Brittany, what's the story here?
Well, I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds bad, but it was just a conversation happening across from me about gentrification. And, you know, I'm from Inglewood, and my parents and I, we've gone through that, just, you know, moving out of the house and all that stuff. And sometimes when people start throwing out around words like they don't understand, or they shouldn't be so upset, or in creating that us and them scenario,
right,
it gets kind of obnoxious. And, you know, I just started rolling my eyes and then breathing heavy, just trying to give some clear signals that this is an annoying conversation.
Well, like they do.
Right.
And so did you ended up talking to them? I mean, did you end up getting to be part of the conversation and kind of showing them the other side of their equation?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, well, here we're just going to go to school right now, and I'm going to tell you that I'm a person who's had this experience, and I'm fully aware of it, and I understand what it means. But there was no apologies. It was just like, oh, well, you're being rude and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so they just totally wrote you off, even though you were...
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what's rude? Gentrification. And then at one point, someone was like, well, I'm going to call the attendant because this is harassment. And then, I mean, I do regret because I was just kind of like, wow, Peppermint Patty the situation, huh? But that was rude.
I gotcha. Look, sometimes you want to speak up. I mean, that could have been a learning moment maybe for both sides. It's a shame that it you know, kind of turned ugly. But I'm glad you called. Thank you for listening, Brittany. We appreciate you.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Now it's Allie time. Are we calling this Allie time?
I don't think we are.
Okay.
I don't love this story. It makes me really angry.
Okay. What did Kevin Spacey do now?
No. Do you remember back when somebody posted a picture of Jeffrey Owens, who was Elvin on the Cosby Show, working at Trader Joe's?
Yes.
And people were like almost shaming him for having a job.
For having an actual job,
for not understanding how acting works.
Right.
You don't work continuously. You have to pick up jobs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like TMZ is, I don't know what they're trying to do here, but do you guys remember Brian Dunkelman?
He was the other host originally on American Idol with Ryan Seacrest, who then got released after the first season so that Ryan Seacrest could become the media empire he is.
Exactly. So apparently he's going through a divorce and custody battle. Mm. Not sure why that is news on TMZ, and not sure why they are reporting details of said divorce and custody battle and leaking documents that are showing how much he makes because he's now an Uber driver. So I'm a little confused by the whole thing. Like, why?
Sorry to interrupt.
Is the angle how much he has to pay?
The angle in real life is that he's fallen so far, he's now doing Uber.
Oh,
that's
I see.
What.
Okay.
That's essentially what they're trying to say.
Hold on a sec. I have to ask this.
Yeah.
We can't see the president's tax returns.
Right.
But we can't get away from Brian Dunkelman's tax returns. What's happening here?
So TMZ posts that he is earning $800 a week, blah, blah, blah. And so Brian Dunkelman sees this and he said, I chose to stop doing stand-up comedy and started driving for Uber so I could be there for my son as much as possible as he needed me in our life as we knew it was destroyed. Print that, TMZ. And then he has to now say, and I make over a grand on a good week, mother effers. And then he
I don't think he even had to say that because you're going to spend time with your son is great.
He doesn't have to say that.
Right.
But the fact that they're putting his info on Front Street like that is despicable. What are you doing? He has a job. He's working so he can spend time with his kids as well as pay for whatever he has to. What are we doing as a society?
And he gets to make his own hours. I mean, there's so much. That whole gig economy is helpful to people if you're in between gigs or if you've had a rougher time coming up with new jobs.
Absolutely.
Such a weird shame.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It is absolutely disgusting. So congratulations on that. And to Brian Dunkelman, keep doing what you're doing. But his girlfriend, in this article, his girlfriend posted a picture of him hugging his child, kind of overlooking a scenic overlook. And he said, this is why he's an Uber driver. F you, TMZ. But then the next one is kind of odd. It's a picture of her in a bikini on the front of a boat, and she says, this is what an Uber driver's girlfriend looks like.
All right, maybe the story went on too long.
Oh, no.
Just don't include that one.
No.
Now it's just weird.
I'm still Team Dunkelman, but I have a crappier jersey on.
It's true. Yeah. It's just weird. Yeah.
Not so much.
Do we need all of that?
We didn't need that last little bit.
Didn't.
But yeah. Let's stop shaming people for having jobs that aren't quite up to par with what you think they should be. Insanity.
Everybody has to make a living somehow.
Amen.
Huh.
By the way, Jeffrey Owens can't stop getting work now.
Exactly.
So maybe this will help the Dunkle.
Is that his nickname?
Is that what you call him?
That's what we call him over at the Uber meetings.
Okay. Good stuff. Oh, gosh. I'm not sure if you saw this yesterday. This broke my heart. If you ever watched Kathy Griffin's show, My Life on the D-List, from 2005 to 2010, arguably the breakout star of that show was her mother, Maggie,
who is
just magic. The woman drank boxes upon boxes of wine. She was just a delight. But Kathy Griffin wound up tweeting yesterday because a lot of people had been asking her, hey, haven't seen pictures or videos of your mom. Where are all of those? And she tweeted, as heartbreaking as this is, I feel the need to share some important info about my mom, Maggie. I've always been honest with you all, but this one is really hard. The picture below, taken in September, was the last time I was able to have a proper, coherent conversation with her.
Oh, that sucks.
Since that photo was taken, she has rapidly fallen into the throes of dementia. This is never easy for any child. I know this is a reality that millions of people deal with every year, but when it comes to my mom, this is particularly hard because her sharp mind was everything. And she wound up tweeting just all of these different things about her mom, videos of her mom, that type of thing. But what I love is she said, I would love it if you would respond to this thread with a video clip of your own favorite Maggie moments, or if you had the honor of meeting her for a photo. While the reality for Maggie is different now, I want to remember the woman all of you fell in love with. And it's a timeline.
I'm
going to
get
emotional now. It's just a timeline of people sending in pictures of when they met her, and it's just, ugh.
Isn't she close to 100 by now?
She is 98 years old.
Wow.
98.
Well, I mean, look, it's always terrible when something like this happens, but man, she was so sharp even until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. But if you haven't had your life touched by Alzheimer's, it's something that you can't even prepare for.
Yeah.
You can't, so.
At least she's not driving an Uber.
Jesus, man. Unbelievable.
I know, it's a callback. We get it.
We understand we're a callback. Humor show. Yeah.
God, I love you. You are such a freaking mess. All right, let's.
Even if she was, she wouldn't remember.
Oh my God, you
inappropriate.
You took it too far, Jensen. God, I hate it.
I'm the Brian Dunkelman's girlfriend tweet of Kevin and Bean.
One too far.
Yep. All right, Allie, pull it together.
Charlie Yee, Dave Foley, Julia Ormond, and Michael Stipe, happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
This is very exciting. You know, the first of everything for a new year, I wonder if it will set the tone for the 12 months ahead. Like the first moment with Kevin, you're going to have a lot of trouble living up to that because it was so great.
Is that top 10 at the end of the year?
Oh, it's top three.
That's
yeah.
what I think about that.
Let's hope for your sake it's top 10.
And I think about that with the first caller of the week, you know, that we had. Like it sets the tone for the new year. Well, that's why I'm very excited. The very first Keep It 100 of 2019. Hit it, Steve.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
All right, text number 99. Jacob in Montebello was looking for Sober by Tool, which I would not have hated, by the way.
That's a good song. Choice.
Texter 101, Mark in Culver City, nothing says getting the year started with a party like Yellow Ledbetter from Pearl Jam.
Oh, my God.
That would have been something.
Good song? Maybe not for Keep It 100.
That's almost as bad as the time we almost played Burning Down the House because someone requested it, and it was almost number 100 during the fires.
Yeah, we thought better, yeah.
Every once in a while, we dodge one.
Yeah.
But we do have Stephen Long Beach on the line calling from the 714. He texted and was texter number 100. Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Kevin, Bean, Allie, Jensen.
Hello. How's your 2019 been so far?
Well, better now. I'm going to get to request a song that I haven't heard in a long time on K-Rock. So
Was this the first time you've attempted to text in a Keep It 100 song?
No, I have attempted, I think, every single time.
Same song?
No, I've got about 20 different ones that I threw in there.
Look at you, Steve.
How did you choose the one we're about to hear then?
I just think it's a great song that's timeless. It still holds up today, and it was a pretty big hit, I guess, in the 90s, and especially over in England, and I'm kind of partial, I guess, to English tunes, probably, but in that time period, other like the Manchester scene, not that this song is, but just kind of dancing
maybe
vibe.
Less of an explanation.
Well, Steve, I appreciated it. Steve, I hope that you can maybe intro the song with an accent.
Well, coming up next on K-Rock is Connected by Stereo MCs.
That'll work.
It worked. I liked it.
If you make sure you're connected, the writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected, somebody you might fall. Somebody you might fall. Hear me out. Somebody you might fall. Yeah.
Keep it 100.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Good song. It's a real good song. Mm-hmm. That samples a Casey and the Sunshine Band written song, by the way, called Let Me Be Your Lover. It was a hit for Jimmy Bo Horn. That's the sample that they used in the Stereo MCs, and it's awesome. That song was Rob Lowe chose it to be the theme song for his Dr. Vegas TV show. You remember Dr. Vegas?
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
And it also appeared in the film Hackers with Angelina Jolie, if you remember that from that. Allie, what year was Stereo MCs Connected a big song here on the world famous K-Rock?
I'm struggling with this, but I remember it was during the time when I had a car with a sunroof. Because I would open the sunroof and this song, like, there was nothing better.
All right.
So that was either 92 or 93.
Okay.
I am going with 92. Three.
You do that every time.
Why?
She tries to pick 2 years. That's why.
Oh, is that what
she gets credit for both.
I'm going to give her credit for both because it was released in the UK in September of 92, here in America, March of 93.
Well, pip, pip.
Congratulations. And thanks to Steve from the LBC for calling in or texting in today with Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. KU Rock.
Allie, I'm really sorry to have to ask for some of your time, but could we hear the moment?
I don't think we have time for that.
We have so much time.
Because Kat's here and she's going
to
recap.
Kat, do you want to hear it?
Yeah,
Kat wants to hear it.
I'm in.
This weekend.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Receipts. Oh, man. They got Wake Dave.
What?
Get going.
Nope, keep going. Finish it up, Kevin.
Yes. Yes.
Jensen was just giving everybody the single shot.
Do it. Come on.
You can do it.
Dave, do it.
You can do it. Every art won't cave on their tail. That's what I was trying to say.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
See, I don't know if you know, he was trying to say woke Dave that whole time. Now knowing that,
would you,
I
mean, maybe want to maybe just to know again, that now that you know the behind the scenes?
It? I think she knew.
No,
she got
no,
it.
No, actually, now that puts it in a new context, yeah. So I think I could hear it again.
Yeah. Steve.
I really could.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, receipts. Man, they got waked over. Dave, wake Dave. Wake Dave.
What?
They got.
Nope, keep going. Finish it up, Kevin.
Yes!
Yes! Jensen is just giving everybody the single shot.
Do it! Come on!
You can do
Dave,
it.
Dave, do it!
You can do it every art won't cave on their tail. That's what I was trying to say.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Absolute pure genius!
Thank you.
That's
thank
a banger.
Fabulous.
That's.
Stand up and applaud.
Thank you. Thank
this
you.
One
right.
is
thank
top
you.
Of the charts.
Thank yep. you very much.
Ah, that is exquisite.
All right.
That is orgasmic.
Okay.
Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
Okay.
Wake
how
Dave.
You're ever going to top it.
Oh, wake Dave.
I said wake Dave like three times. And then Dave Wake, I think.
Oh, so good.
Couldn't
and then
say
Dave
woke.
Wakeling. It got really weird when you brought him in.
All right, Allie is here along with our friend Kat Corbett with a final look at what's happening here on this Friday.
Friday, damn it.
Friday, I believe, is how
Friday.
We say it. Hold on, please.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. I don't know about you guys, but I will be parked in front of my television to watch the Ellen DeGeneres show today because she taped an interview yesterday with Kevin Hart and he sat down for the whole show. So it's just him for an hour with Ellen. And here are just some of the highlights. Ellen revealed that she called the Academy to ask its leaders to please reconsider having Kevin Hart host the Oscars. She said that they seemed really interested in having him back. Here's what she said. We want him to host. We feel like maybe he misunderstood or it was handled wrong, or maybe we said the wrong thing, but we want him to host. Whatever we can do, we want him to host. So, Kevin Hart...
Do they want him to host?
What are they saying, though?
They want him to host, yeah. So, Kevin Hart said he's leaving the door open, and his quote is, leaving here, I promise you, I'm evaluating this conversation. This is a conversation I needed to have. I'm glad I had it here. I'm glad it's as authentic and real as I could have hoped it would be. And by authentic and real, I'm glad the Academy reached out to Ellen and said, Ellen, please help us fix this. Reach out to Kevin, then have him on for an hour, and then by the end of it, he's going to be the host again. Boop, boop, boop. Fixed it.
How long till they announce that he's going to be the host? It airs when? This afternoon?
It airs today. So maybe already on the East Coast, but yeah.
Monday,
you think?
Monday they'll
yeah.
announce
they'll
it.
They'll let it marinate all weekend?
Yeah. Make it look like they work.
We haven't seen or heard any clips. I know there's some online, but we haven't seen or heard any clips of the show. But do you think that Ellen dressed him down, basically, and made him understand why what he did was so awful? Let's remember his jokes were things like how he would physically abuse his son for being gay, right? Mm-hmm.
And then ones where he just used slurs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, and then Kevin Hart apologized and now has a new understanding? I mean, do we think all of that happens on the hour today?
I would like to actually hear him say that and realize what he said was wrong.
I don't feel like Ellen's the type of person who's going to dress him down on her show. She's not that person to hold his feet to the fire, is she?
Well, what's the point otherwise then of having him
just
on?
To talk him into doing the Oscars?
I wouldn't say she's a softball. She's not a hardball either.
Right.
But I mean, the point is, I think she'll say a couple things of how it hurt her to read it, but then it's going to turn directly into a fest.
Okay, yeah, I can. So yeah. A mention, passing
yeah,
mention.
Quick mention.
Yeah.
Why was she so on board with going down this road? She has a very good relationship with the Academy. They're
right,
like,
but what,
it feels but, like a huge setup to mm-hmm, us. Is
yeah.
that they, let's work through this so that we can get Kevin Hart to host, and she's in on it. That's yeah. what it sounds like.
That's
to
what
us.
It, I mean. It has to be.
Because they need the ratings.
Well, they need a host.
They need a host. Period.
Yeah, they have no host.
Yeah, they do need a host. But, well, you know, they have done it without hosts before.
Really?
Yeah.
How long
yes.
has that been? Long time, right?
Yeah, but it was seemed to be fine. Like, people come out. You don't need someone to do that in between stuff that everybody, that takes up so much time.
With Oscar so white, too, it's like Kevin Hart was the perfect anecdote to looking as old as they really are. And I thought this was, I mean, it's, I think they're just, you know, pulling at anything to get her back.
I also wonder if Ellen has more sympathy for Kevin Hart, despite the fact that she's a lesbian, that she has more sympathy as a comedian to go, look, I know how you can sometimes piss people off by saying the wrong thing in the interest of just trying to be funny. And sometimes you just miss the mark. So maybe she's giving them a pass on that and they bond over that and everyone's happy. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what happens today.
But there is also a flip side. Like, I can see how the Academy reached out to Ellen, who they're close with, and thinking, oh, well, she's such a big, you know, member of the LGBTQ community. This is going to maybe smooth some things over. But also, she can't absolve his words to people of color in the queer community that have it much harder than Ellen probably ever did. So I just wonder, it's such a fine line now that she's now trudging. So, all together, I mean, who cares, right? The Oscars? Who's with me?
No? Yeah, cancel the Oscars.
Who cares?
Kevin, should we check in with Woke Dave and see what he thinks?
I think we should look more into Wake Dave.
Yeah, or Dave Wakeling. Yeah. All of these people. We just got this handed down. This is really sad, but Britney Spears is going on an indefinite work hiatus, putting her residency at the Park Theater in Las Vegas on hold to focus on her father's health and recovery. I was not aware that a couple months ago, her dad became really ill. His colon ruptured. He was admitted into surgery. He was in the hospital for 28 days. Whoa. Like, it was a life-threatening deal. So she said, you know what? My dad has taken care of me my whole life. Now's the time for me and my kids to step in for my dad. Yep. So, good on her. Mm-hmm. I had no idea any of this was happening.
Or he's not around to help her, and so she has to... I mean, I don't mean to be conspiracy based,
but I'm saying conspiracy
based. It's not. She's. It's not even a Jensen. He's been running her life.
Absolutely.
Has he still been? Or
yes,
he still has.
He still 100% is a conservator of her entire career and being.
Yeah.
And so he's been keeping it together for a long time, and he's not available.
That's probably a good point.
I don't even think that's really
could be both.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But the Oscars, right? Just cancel them. Right? Who cares? Kat,
yes,
you've got fun things in LA to do.
There are fun things. Are you guys into the escape room stuff?
Sure.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, the escape room movie, of course, this weekend. They're offering a cool thing where you actually go to escape room, Escape Room Hotel Hollywood, and you can go and do an escape room for like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's for like the next week. And so 30 minutes. Who gets out in 30 minutes?
You got to be real good. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't get out in like 5 hours.
I'm just be in there Monday.
I would just die in there.
Anyway, if you want to dip your toe in the escape room world, this is the time to do it. It's free. And if you go to Escape Hotel Hollywood, you can sign up for like a slot for you and your friends to get in there. So,
excellent.
Yay. Something wicked cool going down at the Fairplex in Pomona tomorrow and Sunday.
We try not to say wicked cool on this show,
if you
don't mind.
I'm bringing wicked cool. Okay. I'm bringing wicked to the West Coast.
Unless it's a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones concert, which is not appropriate.
We're in. Saturday and Sunday, the second annual Retro City Fest. This is in one of the expo halls of the Fairplex Pomona. It's the annual celebration dedicated to the history of video games, arcades, and pinball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be like Donkey Kong and the Centipede. And
I'm a pinball head, so.
Yeah, are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a wizard or a head?
No, I'm just a head. But I do like the Twilight Zone game they'll probably have. They'll have Adam's Family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll have all the hot pinball machines. All the pins, they call them.
I like those old 70s ones. You know, it was like the Playboy or the Hugh Hefner, where it's like dudes and mustaches.
With your bachelor party.
At my bachelor party, we went to the Stern factory in Chicago to see how pinball machines are made. It was one of the things we did.
Were you guys like high when you went?
Nah.
No?
I mean, high on life.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right then, anyway, you guys. And then I want to, I just tell you, so we came up, I've done many compilations with Locals Only, the Sunday night show. We're going to now do a pressing on vinyl.
Oh, great. Oh,
cool. Taking a little time out now. We teamed up with We Are Here, which is an amazing company. Linda Perry, you probably know, mm-hmm. songwriter, and that's kind of her thing. And they have a pressing plant now in Frogtown, downtown LA.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to be able to press a bunch of vinyl, and we're doing voting, and we've had 40 bands up. We've now whittled it down to 30. We're going to announce those on Sunday, and you'll be able to vote for the next round. And then we're going to get to around 10, which will make it on this vinyl compilation. It depends on how much time we have, you know. So we're doing ballpark of 10 bands. So look for that on Sunday at krock.com.
How great is that?
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Nice. How many copies of that Locals Only album will you be making?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to be limited edition, but we want to have a nice amount to give to folks. And I'm also hoping to get the digital crew in there to kind of show everyone how the pressing plant works. So we
I bet it's real interesting.
Right.
To see.
So we can go.
I'm thinking maybe I'll bring my next bachelor party when I just redo it in a couple of years. We renew our vows. I'll bring them to the plant.
You just ruined Christmas for me. Thank you.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you, Ken.
Some birthdays for you. Charlene Yee, Dave Foley, Julia Roman, and Michael Stipe. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today here on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bonk, bonk.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Under no circumstance.
That was a rush.
I wetted my pants a little bit, but it was worth it.
And why are all of you still here? Why are you here? You're all incompetent. I keep telling you that, and you keep coming back. Well, don't. Get out!
Now?
Now. Get out! Go. Go! Get out!
I stand behind my decision. This press conference is over. I can't see you now. I can't hear you now. You're not here now. La, 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 la.
Bong, bong.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.